the greats of the St Kilda Football Club. Captain from 59 to 62. Captain of St Kilda's first finals team in 1961 for 23 seasons.
It's a while.
And we were just talking about you, Neil, so serendipitous that you would turn up at this moment. And I've got to say, as a St Kilda fan, I cannot think of a St Kilda footballer, a St Kilda great, who has always, and I mean always, spoken highly of the club, because we've had our tough times.
Oh, yeah.
And on this very night, you spoke of the great people you've met in football, but you started by saying the great people you met through St Kilda. And I've felt that even our greatest players have sometimes been a little embarrassed to say that they were Saints through and through, but never Neil Roberts. And it's a mark of the man, and why you're still so loved by the club and by the supporters of the St Kilda Footy Club.
Well, thank you very much. That's very flattering. But you can't help it when you look at the fact that we have our highest retention rate for membership of any club in the league, which is great. I think it's 35%. But, you know, there's just something about the Saints supporters that it sets them aside. And I think failure does it. And the fact that, you know, when we hardly won a game, you could hear the people saying, we got done by 10 goals. But Jimmy Ross beat his man.
That's it. You know,
just to have one player who beat the opposition was something.
You know, being a St Kilda supporter, I once compared it. We're like a kitten with a ball of yarn. Yeah. We're trying to work it out and work it out. And until, certainly, I'm 50 and I haven't seen a premiership, until we work that ball of yarn out, get that ball of yarn, get that premiership, yeah, I'm going to stick with them, because I'm not going to get off and have them win a flag the year I give in.
You know, forgive me, Neil, this is probably a little bit self-indulgent, but when I started spending my time in VFL press boxes in the early to mid-80s, you were a constant presence working for the Sunday Press. And Finey, I used to fly off the handle a little bit, particularly when I was watching my own team.
And I
was chastised regularly for that. But Neil never did it. Neil always had a very sort of phlegmatic approach to it. And I could just always see him when I was having my little tantrums, just smiling off in the distance and thinking, who is this bloke? And I would leave the games and be very embarrassed about disgracing myself like that and in your presence. But Finey is right. In those sort of darkest times for St Kilda in the early to mid-80s, you were Mr St Kilda in a way. You were the obvious, visible elder statesman presence of the club. What I wanted to touch on here, though, was your media career. It seemed like everything that you did to me, you really threw yourself into, and your media career especially, which lasted a long time. You're in the Media Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah.
You took it very seriously, didn't you?
I did. I tried to portray, you know, my flippancy, and you know, I tried to remain humble. That's pretty difficult at times, but it was just that. I don't know. It sort of grew on me. Football is serious because you've got your pride at stake. You know, Freud said in 1926, the six things that drive professionals. One is personal pride, whether you can beat the next bloke. Self-recognition, love, hate, money, and loyalty to the group. Now, those fall into line almost today and fit the today's game, except the good teams go in number three. They take loyalty to the group and stick it in as number three, and I think that's something Hawthorn's done. You know, they're a real family club.
Who did Freud play with again?
He played with anyone he could.
I think with his mother.
I think that was
part of the problem. Neil, just...
We had to remain positive. And I was very serious about all that, and I was serious about trying to win members of the press over to St Kilda. It was a very difficult thing to do. For people like Alf Brown, they never came near us. You know, I mean, I said to him once, would you please come and watch a game? He said, well, when you do something, you know. So anyway, one day he relented. And he said, I want, his demands were, as we know them, you know, he wanted a car spot, he wanted a door ticket, and he wanted a... and a cushion on the seat, you know, for his wife, a cup of tea, and after. You wouldn't want to know. The ambulance is parked in his car spot. He couldn't find his ticket. They didn't know him, wouldn't let him in. And I think his wife might have got a splinter where she shouldn't have. The tea was cold and he never came back again. We got done by 10 goals and he never returned. Oh, dear.
Neil, you share an unfortunate coincidence with another Brownlow medalist. He won three of them, Bobby. You both were Brownlow medalists. You captained your teams. And you both, over long and distinguished careers, played in one final.
Yeah.
And it was a losing final. But in 1961, the Saints performed well, and it was a great effort to make the finals. And we did so, or they did so, without Bill Stevenson, who went down that year, a champion who did his knee, and, of course, Brian Gleeson, who never played after 57 when he won his Brownlow medal. So, and also, the club was courting Darryl Baldock before he ever turned up, and he arrived in 62. He easily could have been there in 61. I just wonder, in a tight season, going down by around a goal to eventual runners-up Bulldogs, what that team might have been like with Baldock, Stevenson and Gleeson.
Well, you got some idea with Baldock, because Baldock and Stewart came over and they bought some techniques from Tasmania. They attacked the wet ball. We didn't. You know, we stood back with a ball coming screaming off the turf. They perfected the drop punt as a field kick, which was another facet in the evolution at that time. We did get in that final. I played in Doc's. I played on Doc and I've played with him. And I don't know which I'd prefer. But Genji said, go into the centre and overlap with Doc, you know, and we'd kick seven goals between us each game. He'd kick six and I'd kick one. But the point is that he knew so much about how to run, where to run. Football's all about reading the play. You've got to be literate otherwise. Look, Stewie read it beautifully. And we, that final in 61, Hawthorn wanted us out of the way. They thought we were the greatest threat. They ran through us. Stedhay, Cam McPherson, all those fellas. They broke Roy Apted's leg. There were five of us injured. And we were lame on that day. And we still went down by about...
Nine points.
7 points. And it was because Kennedy's commandos went through us and they didn't want us in the grand final.
I just wonder, you just missed the arrival of Alan Jeans as coach, didn't you? By, what, 1 year?
No.
2 years?
He coached us for 2 years.
Oh, 61. Sorry. But you missed the sort of ascent of that side to, you know, a grand final and then the premiership. Did you ever, was there ever a moment of regret where you thought if I'd hung on a couple more years?
Yes, Rowan, there was. And I often think back and say, well, I wish I'd but look, you can't do that. I had a university course to do, and it was offered to me 3 or 4 years before, and had I not taken it, I'd have lost it. The other thing was, Genji and I fell out in many ways. There was a stupid factionalism that existed there, and it was bequeathed to us from above. We tried desperately to patch it up, and I don't think, you know, I said to him, as a matter of fact, look, I've lost a bit of my athleticism. Al and I've moved at the end of this 62 season. I said, why don't you give us a spell, change me up the field somewhere, freshen me up? And he said, oh, I don't think so. So with that answer, I went and signed with Casey and Richards. But I do rue the day. You're right. I do often reflect and think, by gee, I'd love to have been in that 66 side. I think I could have done it too.
Did it make it, it's probably the most famous premiership victory in a way. Did it make it sort of a bittersweet experience?
No. I was so happy for the club. Yeah. I was so happy for those boys who tried hard. I was so sorry that Alan Morrow broke his ankle in the 65 grand final. We had a great show then, you know. They were there ready to be swallowed up, Essendon, and we couldn't do it.
Mm. Well, they came from fourth, Essendon, that year.
Yeah, they did. No, I was so relieved and so happy for the supporters who kept themselves alive to witness it.
Oh, Neil, we could have used a centre-half back in 65 too. Didn't your bloke kick seven?
Ted Fordham.
Yeah. Fordham, yeah.
Yeah, I think we could have used you. Communications weren't back then what they are now. You didn't know Antarctic was cold?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love,
you kept going down there.
I love this weather. It's great. No, that was just something I had to do. My grandfather was a Norwegian. He was a Norwegian sea captain. And I had to have a sea voyage. After all, he'd told us and shown us.
Wow.
And I wanted to do something on an international scale. And I wanted to test myself as far as leadership was concerned. Didn't know a hell of a lot about it. Went to John Kennedy, actually, and said, give us a tip. He said, don't make anybody your favourite. Don't show favouritism. And I took that on board, and it was good advice. He told me about Peter Knights. Was it the 71, Rowan?
Yeah.
71, where he played so well at centre half back, and then he wanted someone to go to the forward pocket, kick three goals, and win the premiership.
Oh, Bob Keddie.
Yeah. Well, no, that was 61, wasn't it?
No, 71.
71.
Yeah. Oh.
So Knights did this, and they won the flag. And, of course, Peter knew that, you know, he had done it more or less on his own. And Kennedy went nowhere near him. And he's like a bird in the nest waiting like this. And he still ignored him. And he ignored him the next day when they had a few beers and a run. And he waited. Kennedy waited. And Knights was waiting too. And he waited till everyone else was gone. And he walked past him. And just ruffled his hair. That was enough.
The
but
carrot.
It was good advice. So.
Just on Antarctica, what's the most amazing thing about it? I mean, like, it's something you can't even comprehend if you haven't done it. Well, no. Like, is there a sort of images that stay in your mind?
Oh, yeah, it's the awe of the place. The place is really threatening.
Visually spectacular.
Yeah, but also active. Geographically active, it's falling to pieces, it's blowing to pieces. Life every day is a matter of survival, and you become pretty well adapted. I remember going down all rugged up and everything. We were greeted by blokes who'd been there for 16 months in singlets.
Oh, God.
But in 6 weeks, we were doing the same.
Really?
Amazing.
We even went for a swim. We picked a hole in the ice and had a bottle of rum, and then straight in, and I reckon there were about 123 strokes, and four were in the water. But you do adjust. Human beings are very, very enduring.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I always remember 1976, the car accident you had with Ron Barassi.
Yeah,
And he, I remember that whole final series, he broke a leg and was on crutches. That must have. How bad were your injuries, and how terrifying was that experience?
Well, it wasn't really. I only had one worry. I was beaten up. The front wheel of the car came through the firewall and put this left leg right underneath. I couldn't even see that. And this the console hit this knee, and this joint ended up under here, and blah blah. I was pretty well bashed up, and it wasn't Ronnie's fault. He didn't want that accident, you know. But I was so jammed in, I was scared the thing was going to blow up, ignite, and I couldn't get out. That was horrendous. But look, it's a funny thing with shock. You don't seem to feel pain until for about an hour, and then it hits you. And I remember this policeman. He was trying to pull my leg out without pulling the wheel out first. And I said to him, listen, mate, you've got into the police force on height and weight alone. You've flunked the IQ. I just collapsed. But the after thing was in hospital, people were just marvellous.
Yeah.
They were marvellous. The response from the St Kilda people were just extraordinary, and it was a very warming experience all round. You know.
And it was in direct relation to what you gave us, those who saw you play and those who read the legend of you playing. I know, look, I'm a great St Kilda collector, and I love collecting footy cards, and there's a beautiful picture of you after you won that Brownlow medal. He's still a good-looking man, but... with that blonde hair, and you could see why St Kilda finally had a golden boy after all those years in the wilderness. And he produced a golden boy because Mickey was much loved at St Kilda. And, you know, tradition continues on, and I was very fortunate. I interviewed Brian Gleeson recently.
Oh, good.
And I asked whether he still followed the club, and he said, yes, of course I do. And he said, do you know you've got a boy there playing this year and I played with his grandfather, and I didn't realise it. Do you know one of the new recruits at St Kilda, you played with his grandfather? And he's going to be a cracking player. His name's Jack Sinclair.
Sinclair, that's right.
His grandfather's Bill Gleeson.
Bill Gleeson, yeah, I know. Billy was a boxer, and he was a rover, a great little fella. Yeah. Did you know him?
No, no, but I asked Brian about him. Brian, I said, you know, there was confusion because your brother played for Melbourne and another Gleeson for St Kilda. He goes, I'll tell you something funny. He goes, I was best man at Bill Gleeson's daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
He goes, I wasn't friends with Bill, but the wife was great friends with Bill's wife. And that wedding produced, that marriage has produced Jack Sinclair. So the story at St Kilda continues, and no matter how far into the future we go, Neil, we know that we've got, down at the Saints, another Hall of Famer. There's been many great stars play for St Kilda. A legend tonight.
Yep.
A Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And it warms the cockles of our one premiership hearts to know that Neil Roberts is in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, sir. Yeah.
Thank you very
Congratulations,
much.
Congratulations,
thank you very much. Could I tell, have we got a half a minute?
I've got half a lifetime for you.
No, I'll just say, you know, all that happens and then, as I said before, you know, you can't afford to have a swelled head in this caper. In any caper. A woman said to me the other day, did you ever teach swimming at Edith Vale? And I said, yeah. She looked at me, turned away, and she said, you nearly taught me to swim. And I thought, well, this is a nice backhanded. but I mean, we've got a swimming program going in Vietnam at the moment. There's a lot of drowning over there. And we're doing it through the RSLs. And I got up in the bar, and Simon Meehan's brother, Johnny Meehan, he was the president out there, and he said, yeah, get up and talk. And I got up and talked. And when I jumped down again, this is the funniest. This is one of the things about footy, how you can't just think you're any better than anyone else. This bloke said, hey, I want to see you. He was up the other end of the bar having a drink. He looked very important, and he was highly decorated, you know, and I thought, I better go. So up I go. And he was one of those tunnel rats from the north of Vietnam, a brave man. He said, look, I want you to have this. And he pushed a pen in front of me. It was made out of two tracer bullets. I said, I don't want that. That's too good. He said, no, take it. So we pushed it backwards and forwards like a couple of girls. And I said, all right, I'll take it, but you've got to tell me why. He said, well, I was a kid and my father took me down to training to watch you train one night at the junction. And while you were running out there and training out in the dark, I went to your locker and pinched a pair of socks. And if you don't take this, I won't sleep for another 20 years.
Gee, you must have been exhausted by the time he squared off with you.
Neil,
that's what the press boxes were like when Neil was in a fine.
You know, look, I've gone to one Van Sant lunch, and Neil was speaking. Now, this is fair dinkum. I've been invited back again, and I'm not going to say who they are, and I've asked who the keynote speakers were, and I don't know why I think he's going to be there again. And they've been highly prominent champions of sport, and I said, oh, no, look, I'm pretty busy. And I'm just thinking, when are they getting him back? It was the best. I mean, it was Antarctic brought to life, and it was... there's no doubt when they were handing out bits and bobs, you must have gotten line four or five times, because I think you got the lot, Coconut.
Bit of a cheat, mate.
Neil Roberts, Hall of Famer. That only confirms what every football fan back in the 50s and every St Kilda fan thereafter knew. Thanks, sir.
Pleasure.